Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it. Hi, nigga. Come on.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson, filling in for Andrew McKay. It is 6:12 a.m. in the morning. Glad you've joined us this morning. Hey, if you want to join the conversation, you can text us at 850-437-1620. We were talking a little while ago about it being National Bootleggers Day, and I said my mama always said nothing good happens after 10 o'clock or after you open a bottle of whiskey. Well, we got a text in from a Fort Walton Beach listener that says, but if you're home and it's after 10 and you open that bottle of whiskey, then a lot of good things can happen. So party on, Fort Walton Beach. But if you'd like to join the conversation, send us a text and we'll get you on the air. So appreciate that. We were talking about the Trump inauguration and why it's unique. 45 men have been president, including Trump. I think he's the 48th in terms of terms, or maybe it's 49th. But so I think this is a period of time for us to note that this is really a unique place in history. You know, there's the only president, the first president since Grover Cleveland in 1893 to be inaugurated in non-consecutive terms. He and Grover Cleveland are the only two presidents to have done that, to return to the presidency after losing a re-election bid. You know, Trump won, he lost, and then he won again, which is really, really rare, really unique. And it's unique because that's so hard to do. Hence, it's only happened twice in history. The second thing I think that's really unique about Monday's inaugural is that it comes during a time when we've got really great polarization in our country, and that's unfortunate. The American electorate is experiencing a deep level of divisiveness, party entrenchment. And I think this is very unfortunate. If you remember, Joe Biden was touted as a candidate that's going to bring people together after Trump's first term. And I think it's evident that that failed. Biden was probably the most divisive, and I don't like to say this, but he was actually a very spiteful president we ever had, and he's been that way all the way up to the end. So the polarization of America has been a real challenge for Donald Trump to overcome, and it'll continue to be a challenge as we move forward. So that's unique about this inauguration. The third thing I think is unique about the start of this presidency is the legal and the political challenges that Trump has had to overcome. It's really unprecedented, the things he's had to overcome. His ability to navigate the legal challenges in and of themselves. So the Democrats have thrown a lot of things in his path. And for him to still maintain a strong voter base is remarkable. Most of the charges, of course, were overblown without merit. But that's another whole discussion on how the Biden administration used the Justice Department to go after a political opponent. But it is rather remarkable that Trump had overcome all of that, never got discouraged, and that's not to mention that he got shot as well. So he's overcome a lot to get there. That's unique about the start of this presidency. I think this inauguration, too, also indicates a shift in Republican Party dynamics. I think we've seen that. More toward populism, more away from what I would call traditional conservatism. I think that's going to continue to positively, I'll say, influence more moderate factions towards Republicans. We certainly saw that in the election demographics. So that's something that's new and unique. I looked this up. This was interesting. Trump has brought white and non-white voters closer together. The partisan gap between white and non-white voters is now smaller than at any time since the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And that's remarkable for a man that the left likes to call a racist. He's really done a lot to bring folks together. Now, most non-white voters are still Democrat, but there's a larger percentage of them that are voting Republican now than ever before, than ever since the 1964 Civil Rights Act. I think that's remarkable. I think another thing that's remarkable. Yes,
we need
John,
to do traffic on the five.
Let's do traffic on the five.
That's right. Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are rolling smoothly. But if you are on, this mouse isn't working. Let's see here. Love it. North Palafox headed towards Cervantes. We've got a congestion delay. I mean, like 10 or 15 minutes there. So definitely plan an alternate route. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. Be careful out there. Driving is okay today, but come next week, You might have to drive on a little ice and a little snow, so you may want to practice that. I don't know how you practice that, but down here, when we get snow and ice, driving can be really crazy because we're not used to it. And also, you go buy some milk and bread and toilet paper, because for some reason, people buy all those things when it snows in Pensacola. So we are expecting some tough weather next week. So if you don't have to get out next week, it's probably a good idea that you plan ahead and not be able to do that. So, and we're talking about Trump's election and why it's unique. I think another thing you're going to see, and we're already seeing, is Trump's impact on other elections. Congressional, state elections are going to be influenced by Trump. Right here in Northwest Florida, Trump's endorsed State Treasurer Jimmy Patronis. And that carries a lot of weight. And so I think his presidency stands to impact other elections nationwide, and more so than any president in recent memory. And in many cases, it already has. It already has in the November election. So I think he's going to have a big influence on that. That's something that's unique about this presidency. And lastly, I think one of the most unique aspects of Trump's election and inauguration on Monday is his use of social media and other unconventional communications. I think this second term, he's going to further push those boundaries of communicating with the public. You know, he posts on X and posts on Facebook, you know, several times almost every day. And we've never had a president do that before, to communicate what I call communicate at eye level with the public. But I think Trump has changed that as well. I think in the future you're going to see more of that. In fact, that's the one thing that the Democrats complained about, was they didn't do a good job of communicating their message. That might be questionable one way or the other. Maybe they did too good a job of communicating their message, but communications, they recognize that's a key ingredient in elections, and Trump has certainly capitalized on that using social media, going on podcasts, never refusing an interview, and going on and on and on with interviews. He doesn't shut people off. He doesn't shut down questions. Very open communication. And you may not like what he always says, but he's willing to communicate that. And we've never had a president that communicates on eye level like that, but I think Trump has changed that as well. So Monday's inauguration, I believe, is a historic event that's going to shape our political landscape for years to come. So hold on. We take off Monday. We'll see where we go. There's lots of things out there that he's already thrown on the table, lots of things that have already been done. The ceasefire in Israel and Gaza, he's already had a hand in that. He's had a hand in lots of other things that are going on, and I think that'll only obviously increase after Monday. So hold on. Monday's the inauguration, and we take off from there. So thanks for being with us this morning. I'm John Hutchinson, and if you want to text us, 850-437-1620. It's 6:19 a.m., and it is January the 17th, 2025. Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about this for a minute. According to ZipRecruiter, Florida ranks 50th out of 50 states for average salaries for college graduates. Now, that's not just after they graduate, but if you have a college degree in Florida, the average salary for you is $105,000. The state with the highest average salary for a college graduate is Washington State, $159,000, or about 50% more. So New York was 154, Massachusetts 153, Colorado 148. From there on down to Florida, dead last at 105.
Where did they get these numbers from?
I have
a master's degree.
ZipRecruiter.
It's inflation there.
Yeah, well, it may be. Yes.
Yeah. inflated.
In Florida, it's 105. In Washington State, it's 159. I think what that tells us, though, is that the highest paying jobs are not here in Florida. Part of that has to do with us having a huge tourism industry, lots of waiters and people who work in hotels.
Yeah, you're right.
So when you talk about averages, you have to be a little bit careful with that. But and in Florida, we do great with restaurants, T-shirt shops, resort, leisure kind of work. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. They're just not the highest paying jobs, not the high-tech jobs like we have in Washington State, California, Massachusetts, and some other places. So it's also interesting to see that of the bottom 16 states, 11 of them were in the South. States like Mississippi, Mississippi was the highest in the South, 133,000, higher than Florida, which really surprised me. But South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Alabama, Kentucky, Louisiana, Georgia, and then Florida, of course, is in last place, unfortunately. But I just thought that was interesting. Out of all 50 states, we have the lowest average a salary for college graduates. Just something to think about when we talk about OLF 8, when we talk about other opportunities to bring in high-paying jobs. We need to think about the fact that we have the lowest salary for college graduates in the nation. All right, let's go to John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Let's take a quick break. Right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Hey folks, this is Jimmy Petronas, Florida's Chief Financial Officer. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, "Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress." Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, "Fight, fight, fight." That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy. So my response to the president was a very simple, "Yes, sir." I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Petronas, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on January 28th, paid for by friends of Jimmy Petronas, Inc.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, I'm John Hutchinson, filling in for Andrew McKay. This is Pensacola Morning News. We are informative, local, dependable. We're glad you joined us this morning. Get you a cup of coffee and sit back. We got a great show this morning going on. And right now, let's go to John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're seeing I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're headed on Palafox Street down to Cervantes going southbound, you're going to see some delays there. I'm seeing about a 10-minute delay in that area. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives. And now let's head over to David Wayne in the newsroom. David?
Well, good morning. Big news today. Negotiators for Israel and Hamas have now reportedly signed a ceasefire and a hostage deal. Multiple news outlets saying that was signed in Qatar by officials from Israel, Hamas, the U.S., and Qatari officials. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu releasing a statement. He says they're preparing for the reception of the hostages upon their return to Israel. Monday is the Trump inauguration, and it's being called an attractive potential target for extremists. The FBI, Secret Service, Capitol Police, and local departments in Washington, D.C. all compiling threat assessments. They say those assessments lay out various scenarios and the types of people that they would be looking for to potentially make those happen. They do say, however, that at this time there have been no specific credible threats for the inauguration on Monday. And waiting to see if the Supreme Court weighs in today on the TikTok ban. An announcement on the Supreme Court's website said yesterday that the court may announce some opinions today, beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern. The social media app is set to be banned in the U.S. on Sunday. Of course, this is due to national security concerns over their parent company, ByteDance.
Good morning, Pensacola. John Hutchinson sitting in for Andrew McKay on the Pensacola Morning News. We're glad you've joined us. It's 6:27 a.m. Hey, we've got some text in here, and if you want to join the conversation, text us at 850-437-1620. Let's see, one that says, John Hutchinson has fans in Tennessee. He's doing an awesome job this morning. Can't wait to hear him back on the air soon. Blessings from Nashville. Well, thank you from Nashville. Somebody else says, it's also cheaper to live in Florida than it is to live in Washington State. That's also true. We're talking about the average salaries being higher in those states for college graduates. And then somebody else says in Mississippi, it's a hotbed for chemical engineers, very high-paying engineering jobs. And that's something we need to think about in recruiting for Florida. You know, there are no car manufacturers in Florida. There are very few high-end engineering operations in Florida. Those are the kinds of jobs that that really pay high salaries. So thank you for texting in. We appreciate that. Now, Trump has proposed, sort of tongue-in-cheek, that we rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. And that's sparked a flood of other recommendations. The Gulf of Pensacola is one I've heard. The Gulf of Mardi Gras is one I've seen. The Gulf of Florida, the Gulf of the SEC is another one I've seen, because all the states bordering the Gulf are in the Southeastern Conference. So if you have a suggestion, text me at 850-437-1620 about what you think the Gulf should be named. Of course, the Gulf was the Gulf of Mexico was named before the United States even existed. So now, John, it's time for a geography quiz.
Oh, ready? No.
All right.
It's too early.
Play the Jeopardy music. Which country, Mexico or the United States, has the most coastline along the Gulf of Mexico?
Mexico.
Mexico does, but it's not by much. Mexico has 1,730 miles of coastline, while the U.S. has 1,680 miles. So Mexico has the most coastline along the Gulf of Mexico by only 63 miles. So I say leave it alone. It's the Gulf of Mexico. It's always been the Gulf of Mexico. If you jump in the Gulf at Pensacola and you swim due south, where would you end up? Do you know?
If you start in Pensacola and it'll go on...
due south.
South America?
Yeah, you would think South America, but it's not.
It's not Cuba.
You end up in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico.
That's right, because this is early for geography, man.
You would end up in Cancun, where, you know, they open lots of bottles of rum in Cancun. So if you want to go to Cancun, jump in the Gulf and swim south.
Good luck.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
I'm Chris Foster. President Biden is shortening sentences for some federal prisoners who he said would have received shorter sentences if they were convicted today.
With the commutations, President Biden has now issued more individual pardons and commutations than any other president in history. President Biden says he is commuting sentences for nearly 2,500 people serving prison time for nonviolent drug offenses.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Firefighters report more progress getting a handle on wildfires that have burned more than 60 square miles and more than 12,000 homes and other buildings.
Firefighters in Southern California will get a brief break from the winds and the dry conditions today through the weekend. But next week, we could see another Santa Ana wind event that could hamper efforts to control the large fires already burning.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean, more than 170,000 people are currently under evacuation orders. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we do have a bit of a cold start this morning. We're at 38 degrees and mostly clear skies. Well, work is now officially underway on the sheriff's office's new Memorial Plaza. A groundbreaking ceremony held on Thursday afternoon.
Well, all along we had hoped we could have it done by the our law enforcement Memorial Week, which is the middle of May. That's rather ambitious, but it's you know, while we were out there, there were some people looking at some right away and make sure that the measurements are right. So we our ambitious goal is to have it ready by, or have a groundbreaking, I'm sorry, the ribbon cutting done by the law enforcement memorial, which is the middle of May.
That is Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. He says the community has really stepped up to get it done. He says contractors even offered to work on the Memorial Plaza with big discounts or even no charge. The community also stepped up to fund it, that plaza being estimated to cost about $500,000, funded entirely through the Sheriff's Office Foundation with no tax money being used. More than 200 people showed up yesterday at the ceremony, including several family members for many of the fallen deputies that were being honored. An Alabama man has died, a woman seriously injured after a crash on Highway 29 Thursday morning. FHP says a truck left the road, hit the ditch, and rolled near Champion Drive. An 83-year-old man was thrown from that vehicle and died at the scene. A 62-year-old woman was extricated from the wreck. She was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. That crash had lanes closed on 29 for about an hour yesterday. Governor DeSantis tapping the state attorney general to fill Marco Rubio's U.S. Senate seat. Ashley Moody will be serving in the Senate until a special election is held next year.
We were going to protect their rights. We were going to protect the autonomy of the state. We were going to protect our communities. And I believe that we have done that, and I think we have to take that same direction to the United States Senate.
President-elect Trump selected Marco Rubio to be his Secretary of State. Governor DeSantis yesterday saying he wanted to select somebody who has demonstrated getting results. Moody has been the attorney general in the state since 2019. Florida is now being sued over its attempt to ban DEI on college campuses. The ACLU of Florida announced yesterday that it's filed a federal lawsuit challenging SB 266 on behalf of six college professors. That law passed in 2023 bans colleges and universities from funding DEI programs. The ACLU says that curtails academic freedom and violates the First Amendment. University of Florida political science professor Dr. Sharon Austin is the lead plaintiff in the case. It's 6:35 at News Radio.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day with mostly sunny skies today, high near 64 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. On Saturday, rain chances move in as we head into the morning through the afternoon. 70% chance of rain, high near 66. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 42. On Sunday, sunshine returning with a high near 52. Temperatures dropping Sunday night into the 20s, 25 degrees, waking up Monday morning. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 40 in Pensacola, 34 in Milton, and 43 in Gulf Breeze. And now at 6:35, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Thank you very much. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly this morning. Even Highway 90 going to and from Pace looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate that update. And again, right now we do have a bit of a cold start this morning at 40 degrees in Pensacola, 43 in Gulf Breeze, and 35 in Milton. Our next news is at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get a look at our market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields fell this morning, pulling back further from recent highs as investors assess the U.S. inflation outlook. The 10-year Treasury fell more than one basis point to 4.59%. Canada is ready to consider dollar-to-dollar retaliation or an export tax on Canadian oil and gas if President-elect Donald Trump follows through with his 25% blanket tariff plan. Canada's Minister of International Trade, Mary Ng, told CNBC, if you're going to put tariffs on Canada, what it will actually do is make things more expensive for Americans. Greenland has been transformed by the climate crisis in recent decades. The changing environment has seen parts of Greenland's ice sheet and glaciers replaced by wetlands, areas of shrub, and barren rock. For mining companies, Greenland's ice retreat could facilitate the start of a mineral gold rush. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials dropped 68. That's your money now.
We all want to change Washington, but changing Washington starts right here in Northwest Florida. I'm Greg Merk, Republican for Congress. With a background in finance, I have a plan that will deliver President Trump his $2 trillion budget reduction target. It includes eliminating the useless climate spending, which costs taxpayers billions while strengthening our enemies. Truth is, the climate agenda is not about saving the planet. It's a global movement bent on fundamental change, control, and massive wealth redistribution. It's an attack on our sovereignty, our economy, and it's a threat to our national security. We live in the most military district in America. I served over 2 decades on active duty as a Navy pilot and an Air Force B-1 pilot with multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's critical we send a combat-tested leader to Washington who understands the needs of our service members and retirees, and no one has more military experience in this race than me. Fact is, we have the plan, but we need the will. Send me to Washington, and not only will the people want it, they will demand it. It's time to send the Alpha to Washington. It's time to put Merck to work. I'm Greg Merck, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Greg Merck for Congress.
So a couple of years ago, my wife and I were thinking about buying a Honda Odyssey, and we had about 6 months we figured left on the main gasket, head gasket for our Grand Caravan, and we just wanted to test drive an Odyssey to make sure it's what we wanted. Nobody had one. It just was the wrong age for the pre-owned certifieds, and it was a whole mess. We couldn't find one to test drive, but we knew we wanted to make sure what we were going to buy eventually. Well, Frontier had one, and we test drove it, and we loved it. And they said, do you want to look at a price? And we didn't want to be rude and say no, so we looked at the price. And we're like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Can you come down a little bit? And they said, yes. We said, well, can you give us a day? And they said, yes. We said, can you come down a little bit more? And they said, yes. And we said, well, can we buy it? And they said, yes. I mean, it was that easy. And we wound up buying a one-year-old car with about 12,000 miles on it that had come back from an auction in Orlando because the dealership there couldn't sell it for whatever reason. And we got a great deal on an outstanding car that we have loved ever since. And we didn't go to buy a car. We just went to look at it, and we couldn't say no once we saw what they had. That's how easy it is to find good quality cars at Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson, filling in for Andrew McKay. We're glad you joined us this morning. It is 6:40 a.m., and we've got a special guest, Melissa Johnson. She's on the phone. She's the executive director of the Fearless Community Resource Center, which is a transitional housing refuge for men and women who don't have a place to stay. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. There's a lot of talk and a lot of action going on in Pensacola and Escambia County about the homeless. In fact, sometimes I think we spend a lot of time on them that's unproductive. But when I read about the Fearless Community Resource Center, I thought, now these people have the right idea. And Melissa's the executive director of this. You have a center on S Street. And you don't just give folks a place to stay. You help them get IDs. You help them find work, other things. Tell us a little bit about the program.
Absolutely. So, yes, we did recently purchase the old Salvation Army shelter on North S Street. That was funded by our beloved supporters, especially Lila Davison and Beach Bomb BB out in the Pensacola Beach area. We raised enough to purchase this, paid it off, so our overhead is pretty low. And we turned it into a resource center with transitional beds for men and women that are struggling getting off the street. So in there, a lot of times they come directly straight from our outreach teams. We have multiple teams around the whole entire Escambia, Santa Rosa County, and pulling people directly from camps or on the sides of the roads in front of stores. And we address their needs, whatever it is. Every case is so different. So we developed it based on that actual person that we're serving. And what is so big about what we do is we do it all through the community. From our meals, they come from majority of all of the different restaurants around the town, like Domino's, Sonny's, to mechanic work, to getting tickets to get people home or to treatment. A lot of that is done just purely through community, and that is our focus, is to address what is in the need of the person that we are pulling off.
Here's an amazing fact about Fearless Community. They take no government money. It's the private sector, which I'm so glad to see. It seems to me that all we talk about in Pensacola is homeless people spending millions of dollars, and really nothing ever gets a whole lot better. But how can you do this without government assistance? Melissa, to me, that's amazing.
Well, one, I will tell you, sir, yes, it would be a lot easier just taking that government money in a lot of ways, but it would make it harder also than what we do. And when I did this, I'm not worried as the executive and the founder of this, as I wasn't worried about the next person or doing the best thing in the community. It was about serving the people that is in front of us and the needs that they needed. And it's easier for us to just go and tell the community, hey, we have so-and-so and they need A, B, and C done so we can help them. And it's been working. And I am such a firm believer in God, and I do strongly believe that he brought me to Pensacola to do what we do. And every single case that we come across, I pray about it and ask God to guide it, and he does. And doors open, and the individual is able to get the work that, or the help that they need. And that's just really why I stay focused with community, because we don't have to have all that red tape. We don't have to have, you know, this pretty display of what we do, but we may not do type thing.
Right.
We get to actually do the genuine work that is needed to be done.
Well, Melissa, how can people help you?
Well, we need lots of it. Down to utility bills, that is the big cost in the building. It typically costs me about $1,200 to $1,500 a month for utilities in there. And again, I don't charge the poor. I mean, and most people should know that they don't have a dollar when I'm pulling them off the street.
Yeah.
Okay, they've had to spend an average of $300 to $350 at our local shelters a month. And right there, I'm losing it. So when we pull them, they don't have no charge whatsoever. So the utilities is a big need.
Melissa,
we're running
late on time, but what is a phone number or an address or an email address that people can use to get in touch with you if they want to donate?
Yes, my number is 850-341-0730.
Excellent.
Our website is fearlesscommunity.org. And my email is melissa@fearlesscommunityinc.org. And you can also reach me through our website and donate.
Thank you. That's Melissa Johnson. She's the executive director of Fearless Community Resource Center, a transitional housing setup that's doing really well with no government money. So if you want to help, give her a call, go to her website, send her an email, and they will appreciate it. And so will the people who she helps on a daily basis. Thank you, Melissa, for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And now we're going to go to John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Yes, we are. It helps if I turn that button on sometimes. That's right. Traffic on the Fives is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about. We're seeing no delays on I-10. I-110 is even actually looking good, too. So I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu to learn more.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in on Tuesday at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's Tuesday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchison, sitting in for Andrew McKay. Do we need to go to David Wayne in the newsroom now? Or you ready, David, or with some headlines? Maybe not? Okay, all right. We'll catch up with David later. He's in there putting it all together for us. We got a couple of texts in here. I want to take a minute and read. We got one that says, "Hotty toddy." John Pickens, a big old Miss fan, will appreciate that.
Oh, I do. And I was like, oh, I'm happy somebody actually.
I know who that is. It's a gentleman I play guitar with. And of course, I went to LSU, so we have a That's all right. Yeah, we have a nice rivalry going on. But thank you for your text. We got another text in that says, the reason that Trump floated the Gulf of America is that currently there is no new drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Changing the name could allow new drilling? I don't think it's that easy.
I have no clue.
I don't think it's that easy, but that's an interesting thought, and thank you for your text. If you've got a thought or want to join the conversation, text us at 850-437-1620. We appreciate your input. Thanks for joining us this morning. I want to talk a minute about Governor DeSantis. He's called for a special session of the legislature for the week of January 27th. The regular session is going to start March the 4th. We'll talk to Florida House Representative Alex Andrade here in a little while. We'll ask him about these issues too. But the governor wants the legislature to go to a special session to pass some laws that would help give local governments, local law enforcement, really tens of millions of dollars for additional enforcement of any new federal laws that Trump puts into place in terms of immigration. The governor even mentions the National Guard. So he's asked the legislature to come together to look at providing millions of dollars for local enforcement of whatever those new immigration laws are going to be. And we really don't know at this point what Trump is going to propose in terms of immigration, but I think DeSantis wants the legislature to prepare, I guess, some blank checks so Florida can jump right into implementing whatever Trump wants. But I found it interesting that the leadership of the legislature really didn't necessarily agree with that. They think it's too early. They're pushing back against a special session. So we'll see where that goes. I lay all that out for you for several reasons. One is I think we need to talk about just doing what Trump wants to do. A majority of us here in Northwest Florida voted for Trump in part because We were tired of the left dictating what we could say, tired of them canceling people, tired of them calling people garbage, tired of them passing too many regulations, imposing the woke agenda, their new Green Deal, environmental agenda, all those things we felt were really an imposition on our freedom. But how we proceed with Trump now is important given all that. I think we have to be careful that we don't also limit freedoms and just do it under another banner. You know, just switch banners on the American people. We have to be careful that we don't cancel people because of their beliefs, that we don't use the justice system to go after our political enemies, that we don't try to remove ideas or products from the marketplace that we don't agree with. So I guess what I'm saying is let's don't be too quick to just do whatever Trump wants, when he wants, how he wants, where he wants. Let's don't be too quick to vote for someone just because Trump endorses that person either. We shouldn't, I look at it this way, we shouldn't give up our freedom of discernment, our freedom of reason, our freedom to debate and engage others in our pursuit of freedom from a leftist ideology that we disagree with. We should not replace one repressive ideology with another. And I think that by giving Trump everything he wants, when he wants, how he wants, we could be going down that road. So come Monday, Trump will be president. Most people around here, including me, are happy with that. He's already providing leadership, something we really haven't had for the last 4 years. But I want us to keep in mind that we drive this car. We, the people, are supposed to run this country. The Democrats forgot that, and they spend a lot of time and effort trying to impose their ideology on everyone else. And so we all need to kind of sand off our rough edges, I guess, going into this term. Let's don't be so fast to rubber stamp every measure Trump puts forth or any person without careful thought, careful due measure. We're not robots. We're not sheep. We run the country, not Trump. And we need to make sure that we remain in the driver's seat. There are a lot of people who didn't vote for Trump and what they think is important, too. We can't forget that. Their engagement is important, too. They're not garbage. If Republicans forget those things, then I think they're no better for America than the Democrats were for the past 4 years. Just my words of caution. What do you think? Text me 850-437-1620. I look forward to hearing from you. All right, coming up, we have Patty Hightower, who was on the Escambia County School Board for 20 years. We've got Dave Greenwood from out at the beach. Probably not a good week to go out to the beach, John. We've got Dee Dee Flounlicker from MANA. She'll be in the studio. Robert Bender, Supervisor of Elections. Early elections start tomorrow, if you can believe that. That's going to be kind of tough. And then we got Julio Diaz is going to come in to discuss movies. And then we got J.T. Young, Shirley Cronley on the wrap. So, whew.
It's been a busy morning already. It's going to be even more.
We got a lot of stuff coming up. Hey, do you want to go to Mars?
Sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's go.
I was like, okay.
Well, if you do, then you're going to want to hear Dr. Pascal Lee. He's a planetary scientist who will be speaking in Pensacola on January 30th. He's going to discuss plans to return to the moon and then to Mars, what to explore when we get to Mars, where we should land, what we should do first, and then our long-term goals for space exploration. It's part of the IMHMC, I never can say that right, the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition. It's part of their lecture series. January 30th, they have a reception at 5:30, lecture 6. Should last about an hour and a half, and it's free. So that should be fascinating. So if you're interested in space travel, we've got a planetary scientist who'll be in town. It's free. Great information, and maybe they'll have a sign-up sheet in terms of who goes to Mars.
That's what I was just about to ask you. Where's the sign-up sheet, sir?
I'm not sure. One of my favorite movies is The Martian. I guess it worked out okay for him in the end, but it was rough going there. So I'm not too interested in going to Mars, particularly if they're going to leave me there. anyhow, that's happening on January 30th. Go listen to Mars. All right, let's go to John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Even 98 looks good. No delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Let's roll over and check in with David Wayne in the newsroom for the headlines. David?
Well, good morning there, gentlemen. Negotiators for Israel and Hamas have now signed a ceasefire and hostage deal. multiple news outlets saying that deal was signed in Qatar by officials from Israel, Hamas, the U.S., and Qatar. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu released a statement. He says they are preparing for those hostages to be returned to Israel. President Biden commuting the sentences of 2,500 nonviolent drug offenders. Biden said that the targets received disproportionately long sentences compared to ones that are handed down today. Some of the sentences were a result of 1980s legislation. The president also said that he will be continuing to review more pardons and sentence commutations as he begins his last weekend in the Oval Office. And United Health Group's CEO says problems with the country's healthcare system do need to be addressed in the first earnings call since the deadly shooting of United Health executive Brian Thompson last month. New CEO Andrew Witty blamed both the private sector and the government for driving up the costs of healthcare. And that's what we've got in our news headlines this morning.
Thank you, David. Always good to hear what's going on in the news. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm John Hutchison, filling in for Andrew McKay. And it is 6:57, and got a few things here, and then we're going to have Patty Hightower in the studio in just a few minutes. The city has their annual customer satisfaction survey coming up, and I think that's important. It's done by the Haas Center at UWF. They plan to ask about parking, so I know if you've, they've got a lot of complaints about that. They plan to ask about growth, infrastructure, some other topics. The parking is one of the areas that the city's received the most complaints about recently. So they want to get some input on that. And that, to me, that's to their credit. The mayor's always interested in hearing from people. You know, they raise the parking rates. They put it in an app system. And like anything new, people have been kind of slow to embrace it. But I tell you, it's really easy to use. I downloaded the app, and it's so easy to park that it's nothing to complain about. If you're a city resident, you're going to get a postcard this month to tell you how to access a survey. You'll be able to talk about what you want to spend money on. You'll be able to talk about how you think the parking's going, any other complaints you've got the city wants to hear from you. And I think that's to their credit. There's also a nonprofit group that's won a $1.2 million federal grant to plan a pedestrian and waterway connection between UWF, down Scenic Highway, and all the way over to Corey Station. So that's in the works, too. It's a $1.2 million federal grant. I would be so excited to see that. All right, it is top of the hour, and we're going to go now to John Pickens. Thank you.